Happy Easter, everyone. Great to see you all. God is good. And all the time. Amen. I'm glad you haven't forgotten that. That's very good. My name's Mark. I'm the curate here for those that are visiting us. And you're very welcome. Very welcome today, especially of all days. And please stay and have coffee with us afterwards. Where's the best place for me to stand to not buzz? I don't know what's buzzing best. Maybe here. That's better, isn't it? I'm sure all of you have seen the pictures of Notre Dame on fire this week. I don't know how you feel. Huge sums of money that have been talked about in terms of repairing it. Or all the people that seem to be saying, oh, I must go in now, you know, even though they've been walking past the building for years and years and never having been inside it. But for me, the symbol that spoke to me most strongly, I think, was the contrast between what was that spire that collapsed. All of that was recent. They were all modern improvements. They were all burnt up. And yet what remained was the original stone part that was generally still intact. And of course the most dramatic sight was that of the stone cross still standing. The modern culture we surround ourselves with, all the embellishments of life, all those things which our culture says are important, a good job, nice house, status symbol, power, influence. You know, the old Book of Common Prayer, we have an 8 o'clock communion, and one of the lines is where stuff that we surround ourselves with, it won't last. And it comes just after, in Scripture it says, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, which is eternal. And at the heart of it all, at the centre of what was left of Notre Dame, is that cross. And the work of the cross. The work of the cross is eternal. It will last forever. Jesus is the rock on which we stand. His death and his resurrection. But how do we know that Notre Dame actually burnt down? How do we know? Were you there? Was anyone there? Was there anyone in Paris that day? So no one here was there that day. So how do we know it actually has burnt down? It's a serious question. You can interact. You saw it on the news. Okay. Yep. Anyone use that thing called the internet? No. See photos? Say again? Facebook, exactly. Yeah. People might have met someone that had been there and so on. Someone said to me last week, I won't embarrass them, I'm always embarrassing them. They said, well, it's on the BBC, the BBC can't lie. Okay. But it did get me thinking about truth and what is truth. In fact, one of the readings from the Passion, Pilate says, what is truth, doesn't he? What is truth? And how do we know it's true? Well, is the internet always reliable? Is the stuff that we read on the internet reliable? Just one example. Probably 3/4 of you won't have a clue what that photo is referring to. But there's a prankster. There's a YouTube channel. And it's called Yes Theory, if you want to check it out. But they got this actor that looks like Justin Bieber. And to promote their YouTube channel, what they did was they got him to sit in a park in LA, near where Justin Bieber hangs out, and they got him to eat a burrito sideways, just to cause a bit of, a bit of a stir. And obviously no one eats a burrito sideways. You're supposed to eat it, you know, end on. That went viral. The entire internet was jammed up with everyone looking at that picture. That was the most trending picture of that day. And yet he was a complete... TripAdvisor, interestingly enough, a third of TripAdvisor reviews are fake. They're complete fake, completely bogus, just in order to get the hotel to the top of the ratings. Helpful to know if you're planning your summer holiday. But what about other events? Well, I wonder what you would say was the most dramatic event that's ever happened in history. Maybe let's have some examples. What do you think the most dramatic thing that's ever happened today?
The Battle of the Somme.
The Battle of the Somme. Pompeii.
The atom bomb.
Atom bomb.
Berlin.
Yeah.
Twin Towers.
Man on the Moon. Oh, there's a few people get shaking heads there. How do we know those things actually happened? How do we know they actually happened? The internet wasn't around, certainly, quite a lot of those things. Do we believe that Julius Caesar actually existed? Was he around? What about the resurrection? That's what we're here today to celebrate. It was the resurrection a historical event? Did it actually happen? Well, obviously, we're here today because we believe that it was. And Christians agree that there are two main pieces of evidence that we use in order to... Let's get rid of that. I was doing a talk once and I had a picture of Hitler. I was going through a few things and I just realised about three quarters of the way through my talk that Hitler was still looking down on everyone. I thought, let's get rid of that. I don't even know why. But there you go. That's a better image to look at. Let's reflect on that. If I don't say anything else useful anymore, just look at that. 1 Corinthians doesn't mention the empty tomb. The Gospels mention it. But it's important. It's important that there was an empty tomb. There was a body there, and then there wasn't. That's significant. And it's significant because the body never reappeared. It never appeared. If someone had stolen it because the Romans wanted to get rid of it, well, surely once Christianity broke out the way it did, the Romans would have been desperate to prove that Jesus had been desperate to produce the body, but they couldn't. And if robbers had stolen the body, why did they leave the grave clothes? In fact, the chances are that the clothes, the linen that Jesus was wrapped in, were far more expensive than the body itself. It would have been worth a fortune. And the headdress that was very neatly wrapped up and folded and put back. It's a significant piece of evidence. But Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, it's our reading from today, says three key things. And I want to go back a few verses, because the whole of 1 Corinthians 15 is fantastic. And thanks to the house group that led last Tuesday, and they drew attention to that as well. Three things. The importance of the witnesses. Witnesses to the event. Secondly, Paul says at the beginning of our reading today, that if the resurrection is a hoax, then so is Christianity. Paul says we are to be pitied out of all people, because we're believing in something that's wrong without the resurrection. But the third thing Paul says is if it's true, then it guarantees us eternal life and to all those that believe in it. I want to go back a few verses. Paul begins his defense of the resurrection by talking about the eyewitnesses, the people that saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. And in verse 3 it starts, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ Jesus died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised, and on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one, he appeared also to me." Interesting, actually, that Paul doesn't mention the women that he appeared to, which were there before Peter, in fact. And that's interesting in itself, because if you're going to set something up as a fake, you want to have the best evidence possible. And women in those days were not seen as the most reliable of witnesses in that patristic society. And so, again, that's interesting. But anyway, more than 500 people saw Jesus, a decent number. You would say that's quite a lot of evidence. But then I know that there will be many that would say, well, hang on a minute, Mark. You used to be a science teacher. You know about scientific evidence. Where's the forensics? But what about other things in history? Do we use forensics when we think about history, historical evidence? Testimony is the basis of historical evidence. It's how we prove things happened. In fact, even more than that, I would suggest that our entire legal system, our entire society, is based on witness, isn't it? We set up our legal system based on what witnesses say. We bring witnesses forward, and we set people free or we put them in prison on the testimony of witnesses and whether we believe them or not. So there's nothing wrong with using witnesses as evidence. And of course, how do we know about these eyewitnesses? Well, we've read about them, and we have text, we have scripture, we have 1 Corinthians as a letter, for example, and we have manuscripts from the past. So how accurate are those? How accurate are the manuscripts that we use today? Well, historians base their understanding on what's called textual criticism. And textual criticism examines the number of copies available of an ancient text and the time gap between the event, or certainly when it was written, and the manuscript itself, how old the manuscript is, when it was. More evidence, you've got less doubt, I suspect. So, for example, Greek history. Greek history is based on writings of various people, one in particular, Herodotus. There's a 1,300-year gap between the earliest manuscript written and where we believe those events happened. Roman history, Caesar's Gallic War. There's a 950-year gap between the 9 copies that are in existence and when they were written. And it's similar with Livy's history of Rome. We don't doubt that Julius Caesar existed at all. He's a real historical figure, as far as we all know. And yet with the New Testament, there are 5,300 manuscripts, Greek manuscripts, that is. The earliest of those is about 130 AD. And we can be pretty confident that what is in the New Testament is an accurate historical record. And that includes the resurrection of Jesus. Secondly, Paul describes the fact that if the resurrection is false, then we are to be pitied. The whole of our faith is null and void. There's no point. We might as well go home and eat our lamb now. Or chocolate. Probably had it already, haven't you? What's the point? What's the point of our faith? What is the point of coming to church, of praying to God, of being a Christian, if the resurrection is just a metaphor, or even worse, a lie? And there are plenty of people that have gone before, and even church leaders, who have denied the resurrection. But what's the point if the resurrection is not real? If Jesus wasn't who he said he was and who Scripture says he was, if he was just a good teacher. Well, there's been plenty of good teachers. I was quite a good teacher, actually. All right. Okay, there's no evidence of that. I hope there's no evidence of that, actually. Let's go and check on Facebook. Jesus claimed to not only come from God, but to be God and to have the power over death, and that he said he would rise from the dead after 3 days. He predicted he would do that. And so if we want to be a Christian, we have to believe in the resurrection as a reality, a physical, bodily resurrection. It's not an optional extra. And finally, if it is true, and I believe it is, then we are to be the most excited, full of life people on earth. Not just on Easter Sunday when we sing a few songs that we like every day of our lives. Because it's true for us too. We too can receive eternal life when we die. Not because we live a good life, not because we obey the Ten Commandments or that we don't break any of the laws, but because we believe that Jesus Christ took on his body all the pain, all the anguish, all the rejection, all the evil that this world has ever generated through every person's rejection of God. And he destroyed it all, along with his own life. And he killed it all, forever, leaving its influence behind, forever. And he has opened up the way for us to receive that too. And his words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I did a funeral a few weeks ago and someone was doing, they said, no one comes to the Father except me. And I turned and looked. I thought, that's kind of the point. So I had to correct him, unfortunately. This truth has lasted over 2,000 years. And many false teachings, false religions have come and gone, just like those modern improvements to Notre Dame. But just like in that picture, one thing remains. And more than 500 people saw the risen Jesus. But millions of people have met Jesus since that day through his Holy Spirit. God's presence on earth now. And I guess that's the only way to guarantee it's true. To see it for yourself. And so my challenge to you is if you don't believe, then ask God to show himself to you today, of all days. What an amazing day to do it. Ask God to reveal himself to you, and he will, through his Holy Spirit. And if you are a Christian and you believe, then that is the good news of our faith, and we need to tell that story. Those on the Walk of Witness on Friday would have heard the message from the front. Our testimony, our story is important because it is the good news. It is the news of Jesus Christ risen. It needs to be told. The world needs to know that. The good news that Jesus is alive. Amen.